Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of Matthew, chapter number 13. The Gospel record of Matthew in chapter number 13. We're continuing with our series of the Holy Scriptures, and we've taken some time to explore the Scriptures. We've talked about its inspiration. We went and further defined the verbal plenary inspiration of God, that we believe that God breathed and God gave us each and every word. We talked about the inerrancy of God's Word, the accuracy of God's Word. We spoke about the preservation of God's Word. And now, as we've talked about how we got God's Word and how God preserved His Word, now we want to start moving to the idea of understanding God's Word. How can we understand God's Word? And we come to it as some people ask Jesus pretty much the same question in a different way that we could also learn ourselves as Jesus gives the answer. So we find our way to the Gospel record of Matthew in chapter number 13. The Gospel record of Matthew in chapter 13, and for context's sake, we'll get a good running start of where we're heading. The Gospel record of Matthew chapter 13, and look with me starting at verse number 1. The Gospel record of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat on it, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell onto good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should bless them or heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a question that the disciples asked of our Lord and Savior in the Gospel record of Matthew chapter 13? The Gospel record of Matthew chapter 13, and notice with me in verse number 10. Gospel record of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, Why speakest thou unto them in parables. Why speakest thou to them in parables? If you don't mind, maybe we can just shorten the question a little bit and just ask the question, why speakest in parables? Why speakest in parables? And with this, we want to answer this question from the Bible as Jesus gives answer and give understanding to ourselves here. Why speakest in parables? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And now as we tackle a passage like this, there is so much truth in this passage and so much discernment we could gain from understanding this passage. And we know that understanding comes from you, and we're praying for that understanding now, that we could discern and see others around us, why they can't understand the Bible, why they struggle with the Bible, and how we can have a better grasp of your word. Again, this is something I'm begging your Holy Spirit to do, to give us understanding, give us discernment, give us wisdom even now. And you promised that you would always answer the prayer of asking for wisdom and never upbraid us for it. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. You do your own work and bring your people along because of your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Jesus Christ is speaking to the multitudes, he gives them a parable, which we often call the parable of the sower and the seed. And in this sower who has seed, he's off tossing seed everywhere he can. And as he tosses the seed, some of the seed lands by the wayside, meaning kind of like the sidewalk. And because they're laying on the sidewalk, they don't get into the ground. The fowls of the earth come and takes the seed and take it away. Some of the seeds fell upon stony places, almost like the cracks of the sidewalk. Isn't it amazing how plants can grow inside of the cracks of the sidewalk? You give them a chance, they'll grow anywhere. And so the seed goes off and it's stony places, but the seed grows some, but it doesn't become strong because it's in the stony ground. And there was no deepness of earth. They talked about the sun was up. It would get scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. There was some that fell upon the thorns, but the thorns choked out the plant that would grow up. But then there was some seed that landed in the good ground and the good soil, and that seed would grow up to be a strong plant. Now, Jesus gives this parable to everyone. And when he's done, the disciples pull him aside and say, Jesus, why speak to them in parables? Now notice, if you don't mind, the pronouns here starting at verse number 10. It says, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou, Jesus, unto them in parables? Now notice, who is speaking? The disciples are. They're speaking to Jesus. And so when he's speaking to Jesus, they said, why speakest thou to them? Well, the disciples are obviously not referring to themselves. Otherwise, they say, why speak to us in parables? Why speak unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Notice we have that word them again. So in verse 10 and verse 11, we have the pronoun them. What is the them that is being referred to? Now this is key. Notice as we look in the context, we see in verse number 2, the them that is mentioned. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. So when Jesus is speaking to parables, he's speaking unto the multitudes. He's speaking unto the crowds, and he's speaking to them in parables. So the disciples pull him aside and say, Jesus, we notice that when you're dealing with the multitudes, you're dealing with the crowds, you often speak in parables. Why is that? Why is it that you speak to them in parables? Notice, if you don't mind, as he gives them the answer, verse 11, And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, it shall be given, and he that hath more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even from that hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Why? Because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, what in the world is he talking about? What he's speaking about here is that he is speaking in parables, not in order to hide truth. But he speaks in parable to reveal truth, but only to those who want to hear. Now, that's very key. Why does he speak in parables? He's not trying to hide truth, but for those who don't want to hear, those who have no desire to obey God, those who have no desire to obey the Bible, they're not going to understand because they don't want to. God has made it so, as we apply this to the Bible, the same thing is true. That those who don't want to obey God's word, those who don't care about God, when they read the Bible, they don't have an understanding. I've read this Bible through cover to cover and I didn't understand a single word. Well, you're telling on yourself that you had no desire to obey. You had no desire. You weren't looking for it to find God. You were looking for it for your own thing, for whatever reason it was, your own motive, that you had no desire for spiritual understanding. We understand that the Bible is a spiritual book. And because it is a spiritual book, it can only be discerned by spiritual people. So Jesus didn't give this to hide truth. He gave it to expose truth, but only to those who wanted it. Notice again, I'm going to kind of prove this again, kind of back this up. Notice with me in verses 34 and 35. So in verses 18 and through 23, he gives the interpretation of the sower, the parable of the sower to the disciples. Then he gives them other parables for the disciples to understand. Then he explains what he's doing in verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes. Once again, I'm showing you that this is something he gave to the crowds. He spoke to the multitudes. Those are the them there. He's speaking to the multitudes. He spoke unto them in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, what this is making reference to is that there was a prophecy in Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. And that's just simply a prophecy that's speaking that when Jesus spoke, he would speak in parables. That's pretty much the long and short of it. Verse 35 is pretty much quoting Psalm 78, verse 2. But God had known before anything that he was going to have Jesus speak in parables. This was something that that God had prophesied that Jesus would speak in parables for the purpose, as Jesus is saying, because he wants people to want the truth, to look for the truth. This is a teaching method that we'd have. So let's ask the question. Why don't people understand parables? Why don't people understand the Bible? What keeps them from discerning and grasping this? Well, if you don't mind, the first thing I'd like to kind of show to you is that they don't want to see the truth. They don't want to see the truth. Notice again in verse number 12, Matthew 13, 12. For whosoever hath, meaning the idea of spiritual discernment to the disciples, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away from that even that he hath. Here they're saying for those that have spiritual discernment, they're going to have understanding. But those who have no spiritual discernment don't have understanding. To underscore this meaning, he now refers to a passage in Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6, notice with me in verse 13 and 14. Therefore speak I to parables, because seeing, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In that which is fulfilled in the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time, no, notice this, any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I shall hear them. This word understand is used in verse number 13 and once again in verse number 15 with the idea this is where the goal is. This is what God wants. He wants people to understand the Bible. But there are some people who don't understand the Bible or understand parables because they don't want to. In the book of Isaiah chapter number 6, it holds the calling of Isaiah, and it blends it into the ministry of the Lord. As the call is received, God specifically tells Isaiah that the people would hear, but they wouldn't understand. That's always nice for a preacher. God says, I want you to be a preacher. Yes, sir. But I want to let you know that you're going to preach and they're not going to understand you. Okay? And you're going to speak and they're going to look at you like a calf at a new gate. You're going to explain it to them and they're going to like, I don't get it. So, good luck. This is what I'm giving you to do. That sounds like a job you want, right? That you're going to speak to people and they're not going to have any clue what you're saying? And you're speaking to them in the same language, but they don't get it. Why don't they get it? Because they have spiritual deafness. It's actually a judgment of God because they don't want to know the truth. Like, you've seen the old thing where, you know, the monkeys holding their eyes and the other one holding their ears, right? They don't want to see, they don't want to hear. It's available, but they don't want to hear it. So God spoke to them in parables so that way when someone reads a parable, they hear a story from the Bible. Like, okay, I don't get it. What's the big deal of this? God's not doing it to hide truth, but he's trying to make it so people who desire truth, they will see it. They will understand it. He wants people to put the effort to look at it. The entire Bible is a spiritual book. Now, let's give a thing. Let's say that someone says, well, my life's a wreck. I'm going to go to church and see what they say. And so he comes into a church and he hears the preacher say, and he hears words and says, I don't know what he's saying. And he says, well, that didn't do any good. And he walked out. Didn't do him any good. What's going on? Well, the guy recognizes something's messed up. So he's searching for something, but he has no desire to change. Maybe he's stuck with alcohol and alcohol is ruining his life. He doesn't want to give it up. So he doesn't want to identify. Maybe the guy has a problem even identifying that he's a sinner. I remember not too long ago, a couple years ago, I had someone call and he said, my life's a wreck. Everything is falling apart. My wife's ready to leave me. My kids, nobody wants me to be around my kids. I've lost my jobs. I've been in jail. I've come back. Everything is ruined. Can you help? Can you help? So I set an appointment. I went to his house. No one else is there, just him and I. We're sitting outside and I begin to show him from the Bible and try to explain to him salvation, that he was a sinner and that because of his sin that he offended a holy righteous God, and that because he offended a holy righteous God, there's a judgment, there's a punishment. He deserves to go to an awful place called hell. But the good news is that God didn't want him to go there. So Jesus died for him, paid the price for him, and all he had to do was accept the free gift. So I went through that, and as I normally do, I go back and kind of repeat myself to make sure that they understand. I said, first of all, the Bible says that we're a sinner. Have you sinned? Oh yes, I have done so much. And he went and explained all the things that he did, and they were awful things. And I said, according to the Bible, you're a sinner. Is that correct? Yes. I said, according to the Bible, where do we deserve to go? He says, well, the Bible says hell. I said, do you believe that you deserve to go to hell? No, I'm a good person. Wait a second. Why'd you call me out here? Because my life's a wreck and my wife's going to leave me and whatever else. And they're tired of my drinking and my drugs and they're tired of whatever else. Okay, so that's why you called me out. according to the Bible, where do you deserve to go? I don't deserve to go to hell because I'm a good person. Wait a second. Why did you call me out here? And it didn't matter. He just could not get in his mind that he was a sinner and he deserved a punishment, that he was not as good. He had in his mind he was a good person, and no amount of talking would change his mind. Even when I would say, why did you call me out here? Why couldn't he understand? Because he didn't want to. Does it make sense? He didn't want to. He was someone who did not want to change, but he wanted a magic wand to make everything all better. Well, the Bible is trying to get into our hearts that we need to change to become more like Christ. Well, if someone doesn't want to change, they don't want to give up their sin, they're going to be willingly blind. They're going to be willingly deaf. They're going to be willingly ignorant. Notice again in verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. That word wax carries the idea of kind of like fat. So can you imagine having a heart and someone who has just had hypercholesterolipemia, meaning that that's a made up word, meaning that it's just covered with McDonald's grease. Can you imagine taking a heart and it's all yellowed and greasy and dripping, and it's so much fat that it's squeezing on the heart? And it says, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Now, is that heart healthy? No, not at all. And it says, but it's that away. By the way, why did it get that away? Because they wanted it. Make sense? That's what they wanted. They got what they wanted. Their heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes. Now, what's holding them back? Their own blindness. Their own not hearing. Why? Their hearts are waxed gross. They like their sin. They like their lifestyle. And they don't want to change. Why do people have a hard time understanding the Bible? Because they don't want to change. So when they read the Bible, yeah, that's great. I don't know what it means. Because they don't want to see it. Does it make sense? So the Bible is not trying to hide truth from people, but it exposes truth only to those who want to hear. The Bible is a spiritual book. And by the way, at any time a person says, you know what, I give up, my way isn't doing things, God, you show me and I'll do it. And the Bible will open up in amazing ways to them. They said, I've never understood like this before. Why couldn't they understand before? They didn't want to know the truth. They did not want to see their things. Now, if we look at the Bible with other motives other than searching for Him, other than knowing the truth, with our own preconceptions or with a lazy attitude, the meaning of the Bible is going to be hidden. Someone who says, well, I'm just reading the Bible because I'm supposed to. Are they going to get anything out of it? No. You understand different. Just because you read your Bible doesn't mean you get anything out of it. What makes the difference? When you want to find God. When you want to find the truth. If you get honest with God and say, God, you show me what needs to change in my life. He says, I've been waiting for you the whole time. And you'll read the Bible and said, this is in here? I've never seen that before. That's me. And God says, yeah, it's been waiting for you the whole time. The Bible is a spiritual book that can only be discerned by spiritual people. Not that they're some super guru. It just means that they have a desire to know what God wants to give them. They want to know the truth. But those who don't want to know the truth, the Bible is a closed book to them. They could read it over and over and get nothing from it. They could come to a church and say, I don't get fed. I don't get anything from the Bible. Nothing. What's another reason why they don't get anything from the Bible? First of all, because they don't want to know the truth. Second of all, they don't want to see God. They don't want to see God. God desires to reveal himself to us, but he wants us to put forth the effort to look for him. I've used this illustration before. Let's do it again. When my kids were little, we would play hide and seek. And when they're little, they don't hide because they don't want me to find them. They hide because they want me to find them. So my three would always do everything together. They're so close in age. So even hide and seek. All right, Daddy, go count. 1, 2, 3. And you would hear them, where are we going to go? And then start talking with each other. And you hear them go into a bedroom. And they're all together, making noise, pushing and shoving, getting under the bed. Stop, you're in my way. Stop. And I could hear them the whole time. And so, all right, 99, 100, ready or not, here I come. And so I go into the bedroom. Are you guys in here? And you hear a little snickering. All right, I'm going to look in the closet. Are you up? They're not in here. And you hear more laughing and giggling under the bed. Oh, they must be in the bathroom. No, Daddy. All right. Well, I guess they're not here. I'm going to go look somewhere else. And you hear, look under the bed. And I look under the bed. Oh, Daddy, you found us. It's great. Why do my kids play hide and seek at that age? Because they want to be found. Some people have in mind that God is playing eternal hide and seek with them, and that every time you look for God, he's always right around the corner. Every time you look for him, you just miss him. That's not God at all. God wants to be found, but he wants people to put forth the effort to look for him. God wants to be found. He wants you to know him. He wants to have a personal relationship with him, but he wants you to want it. God is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you, but he is available when you are ready. Some people don't understand the Bible because they do not want to know God. Why don't they want to know God? Because if you meet God, you're going to have to change. When you meet God, there are things that are going to have to be different in your life. When you meet God, there's something that needs to go away, change, add. Something has to happen. So people don't want to meet God. I talk to people all the time. You know what? I'd love to be a Christian, but I don't want to give up my lifestyle. They say that. I'd rather have my lifestyle than get to know God. Well, when they read the Bible, they're not going to get anything from it. It's not going to make any sense to them whatsoever because this is a spiritual book. Now remember, you cannot be a spiritual person without being a scriptural person. I spoke to someone a couple weeks ago. They said, I asked them, how's your Bible reading? Well, I don't read it. Well, why not? Because I don't get anything out of it. Well, why don't you get anything out of it? I was just asking a question. Well, you know, I feel like I get things better if I watch a movie on it or if I listen to some contemporary Christian music. That's when I finally get stirred. Well, God says the Bible. You understand you're telling on yourself. You're exposing your own heart. There's something wrong with you. Not the Bible. The Bible's not broken. Well, I just don't want to change. Now we're being honest. That's something there. People who don't want to find God, people who don't want the truth, they're not going to understand this. By the way, we see this illustrated. There are people who study the Bible and get nothing from it because they don't want to know God. I have a message in my archive somewhere that Adolf Hitler knows more scripture than you. Adolf Hitler loved to quote scripture. Adolf Hitler read his Bible. Was he saved? No. Did he read his Bible to encourage the people to live righteously? No. In fact, he did the Bible to twist it to try to get people to do what he wanted them to do. And because the Lutheran people in Germany all considered themselves to be Bible-believing Christians, even though they didn't know the Bible that well, he would use the Bible and convince them to do things like kill the Jews, because he would quote scripture and twist it on them. So he read his Bible, he quoted it. Why didn't he understand it? He had no desire to understand it. He had no desire to learn about God. What about college professors? College professors who teach Bible classes, whether it's world religions or whatever. They teach the Bible. Why don't they get out of it? Why doesn't God change them? Because they don't want to. There's people who uses the Bible as an English literature book. By the way, the English Bible is some of the best literature ever made. It brought the English language to its zenith. And so just like they would read Macbeth, they read the Bible in those literature classes. Why doesn't it change them? They have no desire to know God. And so they are blinded, they're deafened, and they have a lack of understanding. By the way, we as Christians, why does it sometimes we get periods where we don't understand the Bible? Because we're not looking for God. There are periods that we don't want the truth. There are periods that we're in a funk. We're in a place where we like our sin and we don't want to give it away. And so we have a hard time understanding the Bible. If you get to the place where you're not understanding the Bible is not broken. You are. As long as you have a desire to read the Bible, to look for God, to change, to find the truth, God will show it to you. Which brings me to the third thing here. How can we understand parables and thus the Bible? How can we understand the parables and thus the Bible? Well, notice with me in verse number 16, Matthew 13 and 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now remember, he's speaking to the disciples. And he said, there's something different with them. Why do I speak in parables? Because they don't want to hear. They don't want to know the truth. They want to hear from Jesus, but they don't want to know the truth. So I speak in parables, and those who want to know, they can know. You're one of the people who want to know. My disciples, they want to know. Notice verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. Think about Isaiah, who wrote a passage that Jesus just quoted. Do you think Isaiah would have loved to see Jesus with his own eyes? Absolutely. Do you think that Isaiah, when he's talking about the Lord high, holy, and lifted up in Isaiah 6, that he would have loved to meet the Lord high, holy, and lifted up on earth? Absolutely. What about Jeremiah? Oh, he would have loved him. What about Habakkuk? You talk to any of those people, they would have loved. Now think about the multitudes. The multitudes had the same opportunity that the disciples had. They could hear Jesus. They could speak to Jesus. They could ask Jesus questions. But what made the difference? It wasn't the exposure to Jesus, because they could have had more of Jesus if they wanted to. They just did not want to. So how can we understand parables and the Bible? We're going to come back and finish this up in Matthew chapter 13 in a second and see kind of the end of the story. But turn with me to John 17, chapter 7, the gospel record of John chapter 7. Now, we can't do anything about the multitudes because we cannot make them want to learn. We cannot make people want to hear. Now, we could certainly pray and the Holy Spirit could do its work, but we can't make them want to hear or understand. But we can work on ourselves. What can we do so the Bible's still alive to us? What can we do so the Bible speaks to us? What can we do? Well, God, Jesus Christ, gives a promise in John 7:17. And John 7:17, it has this promise. And if you've never highlighted, marked, starred, done something to bring your attention to this, please do that now. Notice what it says. If any man, now this is pretty important. Any means any, right? Any man. Not certain people, not a guru, not someone who's a preacher, not someone who's a part of a certain church. Any man. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Let's break this apart. I want to show you this promise, how you can consistently have your Bible reading alive, how you can consistently have God speak to you from the preaching, from God's word, anytime the Bible's open. First of all, it starts with this. If any man will do his will. It begins with submission. It begins with this idea, I am willing to do whatever God tells me to do, whether it's something I want to do or not. I am willing to do it. It has this idea of obedience. All right, so let's say that We encourage people to go to church. All right? But no matter what, I don't care. I'm not going to go to church. I could show them Bible, but it's not going to help them because they're not willing to obey, right? Does the Bible give a lot of verses and implications about that we should be faithful to church? Absolutely. Do you know that you are not right with God if you're not faithful assembling in a local church? Now, we live in a world where we've had 2020 and people at home. I still know people who haven't left their house in a couple of years. I'm saying that they're not right with God according to the Bible if they're not in church. But if they're determined not to go, it doesn't matter what I say. Does that make sense? They're willfully blinded. They're willfully ignorant. They're not going to understand even if I show them. If we want to obey God, we have to be willing. God, show me what to do, and I'm willing to do it. That's just the first step. I have to be willing to obey. Well, I didn't get nothing from the sermon today. Well, what did the preacher preach on? Well, could it be that there was something you didn't want to obey, and so, don't hear anything, don't see anything? People do that. It's a wonderful thing. I want to get cameras one day, and I want to put them posted here so you guys can see your faces and the faces of others when I preach. I can tell when I'm preaching a subject people don't want to obey because the light bulbs go off. And looking everywhere else. But there are times when people are assembled together and they may not know what I'm preaching, but there's a sense I want to find out God. I want to learn more from Him. And the light bulbs are going on when I'm preaching. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. What makes the difference? People are willing to hear. They're willing to do. God, whatever you tell me, those are the services where God will open up. Sometimes preachers may talk about, you may hear it from time to time, they'll definitely speak to me. They'll talk about whether they have liberty behind the pulpit to preach. What do we mean by that? Well, the liberty is when people are prepared and they say, I want to obey God, the preacher can say anything as long as it's biblical and the people are receiving it. That is not true. I could preach the same message here and have people come to the altars and get right with God. And I could go preach that same exact message some other church and they're the polar bear ice church. And they're like, what in the world did he just say? This is, what strange doctrine is this, man? Oh, are we done yet? Oh, man. You're like, what made the difference? When people are willing to hear, it makes all the difference. There's a liberty. By the way, most of the preachers who come through here all talk about how they feel like they have great liberty here. And that's because of y'all having that desire. I want to hear from God. I want to look from God. I want to respond to God. There's a difference. If any man is willing to. So if you're willing to set aside God, if you tell me something to do, even if it's something I won't normally do, I'm willing to do it. The Bible will open up in amazing ways. But it starts with that willingness. Am I willing to obey? Am I willing to listen? Am I willing to do what I'm told? That willingness to obey. Notice again, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. The word doctrine has the idea of our beliefs and teachings. It's what's right. That if any man is willing to obey God, he can know. That word know means to know of a surety, to have evidence of. That you can know this is what God has given me to do. Where does it start with? It doesn't start with a knowing. It starts with a willingness. I'm willing. Once I'm willing, then I can know. I can understand. I can have proof of the doctrine. And then notice this. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Here God says, if any man's willing to obey me, I'm going to open it up and they're going to know of the doctrine. And in addition, they're going to know that it came from God or where the source was. For example, when I'm preaching, if I'm preaching God's word and someone is anticipating I want to obey what God says, they can tell that came from God. That wasn't pastor. That was God. That's what God said. That helps out quite a bit. If somebody doesn't want to listen to what things say, and I preach a Bible, pastor, that's your own thought and opinion. They don't want to accept it because they don't think it comes from God. Does that make sense? But if you're willing, you could tell that was of God. God spoke to me in that message. God told me what I needed to do. That's spiritual discernment, but it comes when we're willing. Now let's turn back to Matthew 13 and let's kind of see how this ended up. Now remember, in the context, Jesus just told the multitudes the parable of the sower and the seed. And he talked about the seed being cast about, and some of it got cast about upon the wayside. Some were in the stony ground, some got in the thorny ground, and some in good ground. The disciples went to him and said, "Why speak to thou in parables?" And so he explained why he spoke to parables. He didn't speak to them in parables to hide truth. He gave it to expose truth. But they had to have a desire to look. Well, notice as Jesus now interprets the sower and the seed to the disciples so that way they could have understanding and knowledge what he said. Notice with me Matthew 13 and verse 18. Here we go. Pay attention now. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Let me pause here. Notice in verse number 9, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Again, there was an implication that there are some people who would not hear, but those that have the desire to hear, the willingness to hear, prepared to hear, they're going to hear. Verse number 18, "Hear ye therefore." All right, disciples, you just proved that you're willing to hear. Let me explain. Let me give you an interpretation. Let me make it clear what I just said. Hear therefore what the parable of the sower. "When anyone heareth," here's that word "heareth" again. You're starting to get the semblance here. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that is sown on the heart. This is he that receiveth the seed by the sea wayside." So here's the parable. Someone cast out the seed, which is the word of God. That's what we're speaking about. The word of God comes. And it falls upon the wayside like concrete, like the road. Well, because the person's not willing to receive it, it just sits there. And so Satan, the dirty bird, comes, takes that seed, takes it away. And that word does nothing for that person who just got the word. They weren't ready to receive it, and it's gone. That's what they wanted. I didn't want to do with it. It's now gone away. Satan's able to pluck it up so that way it doesn't affect him whatsoever. It can't grow anymore. It's gone. Verse number 20. "But he that receiveth the seed in the stony places is the same as he that heareth the word and in on joy receiveth it. But he hath no root in himself, but dureth a little while when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and he is he is offended." So here's another one. So there's a seed that just happens to get past all the hardness and happens to get right into a crack. And it grows up quickly. And the person says, "This is great." And then they say, "All right, well, good, that's great. Are you going to read your Bible tomorrow?" No. Well, then that plant's going to die. I mean, he received it and said, "Oh, this is great. I've never heard that before." But because he's not willing to obey, that heart's still hardened, nothing's going to come of it. It may spring up. It may touch him just for a moment. Then hardness, the heat, something comes and it's gone and they don't continue anymore. Does it make sense? Because they're not prepared to hear. It just happened to accidentally get into a crack where it grew something. And just for a moment, "Oh, that was great." We watch people do that all the time. People who come in and out of church, not consistent. They come every once in a while and they may hear something. "Oh, that was great. That was wonderful. Good. Are you going to be here tonight?" "No." "Wednesday? Maybe. Next week? I'll think about it." Well, that plant's going to die because they've never had a desire to follow through, to obey with it. It may have helped them that one time, but then it's gone. Stony ground. Notice again as it goes on. Verse number 22. "He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So here's another seed. It goes into the bushes and it goes into the weeds. And so as it grows up, the weeds come and choke the life out of that plant. If you've ever grown plant, you put plants too close together, they're going to compete to live. Well, the thorns, the world is going to choke it out because it's not prepared soil. It's good. I'm glad to receive it. But then they watch the news and they don't read their Bible. It begins to choke out that plant that had started to grow. And it chokes the life until that seed, that plant dies and it's no more. So the world is cleared it out. But notice there's one more soil. Verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. So here's another ground that is prepared. I want to hear God's word. I prepared the soil. I'm prepared to obey God, not just today, but tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm prepared to listen to it. God allows that word to come in, and that word grows. And then as it grows, it begins to produce fruit. So let's imagine we take a piece of corn and we want to grow a crop. So you take some corn and you throw it in the road out here. How much corn are we expecting to get out on the road? Okay. Well, what if some of the corn happens to get in the sidewalk? Are we going to get a good corn stalk from the sidewalk? No. Now you're going to get the plant, and then it's going to die out. All right, so we toss the corn out, and we throw it not in the field but that's by itself, but it has other plants into it. Well, there's plants that are going to compete for that corn because that corn's going to grow big. Well, the other plants that will grow quicker and around it are going to choke out that corn. You'll be lucky to get anything from it. But if you prepare the field and you clear out all the thorns, the distractions, and they're ready to receive it and they're ready to grow, they're going to spring up and you're going to get a whole crop of corn from that seed. This is the same thing with our hearts. When you come in, if your heart's prepared, if you're ready to hear, let me tell you, you get more out of the preaching. If you prepare your heart before you read your Bible, you'll get more out of your Bible reading. It just, if you prepare your heart, what does it mean to prepare your heart? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to listen? Are you there because you have to? Or are you looking forward to hearing from God? Are you looking forward to seeing what God has for you? That makes all the difference. Why can't some people understand the Bible? Because they don't want to know truth and they don't want to know God. They want their own life. They have hard ground. Our goal to be able to understand the Bible is to be willing to listen to God and to be willing to obey the truth. And when we're at that state, God will make the Bible open up. By the way, you don't have to have the greatest Bible teacher. As long as the Bible is opened up, God can speak to us. It doesn't matter if it's some kid at New Year's who's trying with shaking knees coming up and he takes 5 minutes. God can do a work. It may be some young missionary who's trying to get his feet under him, who says, I don't preach that often, but I know God's want me to do something. And I'm just going to open up the Bible and hope it does. God can speak to us and God can do a work even from that. Maybe it's someone who says, listen, I'm not a preacher, but I'm trying to do my best and I want to tell you about what God's given me. As long as the Bible is open, we can get something out of it. It's all dependent if our heart is prepared. You know, some people just automatically have that, I hate that preacher. So as soon as that preacher gets up, they're not going to get anything from it because they're already closed off. It's all dependent on you, not them. Someone comes to me and said, preacher, I'm just not getting fed at church. That's not a me problem. It's a you problem. There's something wrong with you. As long as the Bible is being opened up, God wants to speak to us. What makes the difference? Are we ready to obey? Are we looking for God? Are we prepared? That makes all the difference. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for you being a wonderful God. And Lord, you want us to obey your Bible. You want us to understand your Bible. And you didn't make it so it's hard to understand, but it is a spiritual book. Lord, I'm asking that you would help this group here to be determined to have their hearts prepared to hear that whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's coming to church, hearing a preacher, whenever the Bible is open, that they've already said in their heart, you tell me what to do and I will do it. Lord, I want to see you. I want to find you. And you'll be found each and every time. Help us to have the good soil so that way you can do your own work in our hearts and do amazing things in our lives. So let me ask you the question, dear friend. How's your heart? Of those grounds, which one best describes you? Is it hard-hardened? If it is, you probably have already fallen asleep and turning your hearing aid off to this message. What about those that say, well, I got something out of it. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe it's hardened. It just happened to find a crack. Are you going to continue with it, or are you going to let that plant die? Maybe you say, I want to listen, but this is here and this is a distraction. And the cares of this world, the distractions of this world, choke out that plant every time it tries to grow. Maybe you need to get rid of some of those distractions. Get clear out that bed. Do you have a type of heart that's ready to hear? Every time you come to church, you need to come prepared, ready to hear before you get here. Start preparing on Saturday night to hear Sunday morning, that you're looking forward to it. You're anticipating. You've already prepared yourself, that you're not going to allow yourself to fall asleep. You're not going to allow yourself to daydream, because you are here to hear from the Lord with the expectation that He is going to speak. Every time the Bible is open, we're prepared to hear. Let me ask you, how is the soil of your heart? Maybe some of you need to dig up that fallow ground. You need to turn over that field. You need to make it so it is. Maybe you could tell in your heart that you are. There's some stony ground. There's some hard rocks that need to be pulled out. Maybe you just need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to have a heart that's prepared to hear. Help me to be willing to do whatever you tell me to do, no matter what it is. If you tell me to do it, I'll do it. If we prepare our hearts, God will do even more than we can imagine. He'll open up the Bible in ways that you never thought was possible. But it all comes and starts. Are you willing to hear? Are you willing to obey? Are you looking for God? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.